An uncomfortable dose of truth from Pastor Ray Bentley.
There are enemies who want to rob and steal and kill and take captive your precious children. It might be your own son or your own daughter. It might be literally a niece or a nephew. It might be your grandchildren. That's why in every generation, God says, I need men and women of faith. I need an Abraham in this generation.
Spread the news. All of his people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. As we live our daily lives, we can lose sight of the fact that there's a war going on. There's a battle being waged for the hearts and minds of men, hearts and minds of children. And today, as we continue our studies in Hebrews, Pastor Ray helps us stand boldly for our faith in the tradition of Abraham. Let's listen.
Let's open our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 7, beginning at verse 1. It says, "For this Melchizedek," and we're going to talk about this man of mystery that met Abraham some 4,000 years ago. I want to talk a little bit about who is this guy, Melchizedek, and what does this story maybe teach us about today? "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being translated king of righteousness, and then also king of Salem, meaning king of peace, without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, remains a priest continually." So here he's introducing Melchizedek, and he's referencing something that is found in the book of Genesis. After Abraham and Lot had parted company. Now, Abraham's nephew was Lot, and the Lord blessed Abraham. And so his flocks grew, his herds grew. He had an entourage of herdsmen and foremen that oversaw his growing estate. And his nephew Lot also, he probably invested in him and got him started, and he began to grow. And then their foremen started to get on each other's nerves. There was too much conflict. So Abraham said, "Listen, let's not have conflict between us. We're family. We love each other. Where do you want to raise your flocks and herds? Where do you want to establish your village to live? And I'll give you first pick, Lot." So Lot said, "Oh, thank you, Uncle Abraham." And he looked around and he found the most beautiful green valleys and said, "I want to go there." Abraham said, "It's yours." And then all of a sudden he heard about five kings that were living in that particular area. Now, there were five kings who gathered together, and they realized that by bringing these little fiefdoms and clans together, they began to go and conquer, you know, this man's estate and that man's estate, and they conquered and captured Lot and his wife and his children and all that he had. So Abraham, I can see the sting coming into his eyes and the fire coming into his veins. He gathers 300 trained men, and he goes out immediately after them. And we read the story as it tells us that he found them, and then he fought them, and he defeated them, and he recaptured Lot and his wife and their children and all of their flocks and all of their herds and all of their spoil. He saved everything and brought it back now home. And as he gets to the very entrance to the gate of ancient Jerusalem, called at that time Salem, he is met by the king of Salem. The king of Salem's name is Melchizedek. His name means king of righteousness. And he is the king of Salem, which is the city of peace. He is not only the king, but he is also the priest of the Most High God. Now, if you've been with us, then you know that God did not really want for the high priest to be king, nor did he want the king to be the high priest. However, with Melchizedek, there was an exception. With Melchizedek, he was both king and priest. So here is Abraham. He is walking to the very gates of the city of Jerusalem, and here is this king, Melchizedek. Now, we read the story of the meeting of Melchizedek and Abraham in these verses, Genesis chapter 14, verses 18 through 20. Let's read it out loud together. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High, and he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." And he gave him a tithe of all. Those little verses, 18, 19, and 20, this is the only history we have of Melchizedek in the entire Old Testament. Everything you ever wanted to know about Melchizedek is found right there. It's not very much, is it? And obviously, Melchizedek becomes, and the reason the writer of Hebrews is talking about him, Melchizedek becomes a type of Jesus Christ. He is a type of Christ because we are told nothing of his genealogy, nothing of his parents, nothing of what happened after the meeting with Abraham. And this was about 400 years before Moses and the giving of the law. Here's Abraham again. He's got his camel. And when Abraham walks up to him, he goes down upon his knees. And as he bows to his knees, he begins blessing the Lord, worshiping God, mediated through Melchizedek, the high priest. And there is a tenth of all that he has. He says, "I want to give this to the one true God, the God of heaven and the creator of the heavens and the earth." In exchange for that, now Melchizedek, the king, puts his hands, if you can see them, he puts his hands upon the shoulders of Abraham as he bows his head, and he blesses him. "Blessed be you, Abraham, for God has delivered you, and God has protected you, and God has blessed you and your family." And then Abraham gives him the tithes, and then Melchizedek offers to Abraham bread and wine. So they're fellowshipping together in a relationship and in a meal and telling the story of a great victory, a great deliverance, a great salvation, a great recapturing of all that had been lost. This is a very beautiful and a very interesting story. And yet as we look at all of this, I want for you to realize this. There is here, when you read this and we're reading this story, where do you and I come in? Let's say you're reading through the Bible, as many of you are, and you read this story. What are we to glean from it in a personal, devotional way? Here's what I would suggest. I believe that the true message of the story of Abraham and Lot and what happened with this whole event is a picture for us. You see, God tells the story of Abraham because everyone, all of you, my brothers, my handsome brothers, who are believers in Jesus Christ, you are the sons of Abraham. You are his sons and his daughters, of Abraham and Sarah, my beautiful sisters. In other words, we are reliving in our own day and in our own generation and in our own lives the very same kinds of things that Abraham and Sarah went through. There are enemies who want to rob and steal and kill and take captive your precious children. It might be your own son or your own daughter. It might be literally a niece or a nephew. It might be your grandchildren. How many of you are aware there's a spiritual battle going on all around us? And you know what the biggest target is? And if I can say this, bigger than politics and economy and all of those things, you know, the enemy really wants souls, and he really wants young souls that are vulnerable and are still being formed. He wants to rob them and steal them and take them captive and enslave them to his system. And you know, he comes to rob and to steal and to kill. That's why in every generation, God says, "I need men and women of faith. I need an Abraham in this generation. I need a Sarah who will immediately cry out and grab hold of heaven and say, 'No, I will not let my nephew or my son or my daughter or my grandchild be stolen and ripped off In Jesus' name, I pray for them, Father. Hear my prayer. Send your angels. Intervene on their behalf. And then there's Sarah going to an Abraham saying, you need to do something. You need to intervene. You need to talk to them. You need to go after them in some way. I believe that God wants this generation of Abrahams and Sarahs to do whatever it takes to love and to reach out to and fight for their sons and daughters. But, you know, if we just stop with us and go, well, I'm saved, it's not enough that we observe that others in our family or younger ones are going off, as it were, the reservation. We need to go after them and love them and bring them home. And in a way, it is our children watching the heroics. Abraham was a hero. You don't think that planted a seed, not only, let alone in Lot's mind, but in Lot's children's minds, that Abraham's faith in God led him, guided him, and blessed him, and delivered him and all of them. I'm sure it had a tremendous impact on the next generation. And that's a big part, I think, of what the story of Abraham and Lot and Melchizedek is all about.
Pastor Ray Bentley will have more of today's study in just a moment. It's a blessing to hear from listeners, especially when a particular message has spoken to them in a meaningful way.
Dear Ray Bentley, your current messages have been so encouraging to me. I hope it will be also for my husband. We have purchased a fixer-upper house, and it has caused continual financial and emotional stress. Please accept this small donation and send us your message titled Sinking or Walking on Water. Thank you, and God bless.
When you hear a message that speaks to you, get a permanent copy of it to have for the future or to share with someone else. You can order at raybentley.com. Again, go to our website, raybentley.com. And now more of today's message from Pastor Ray Bentley.
Now look with me in verses 4 through 10. He says, now consider how great this man was. He's talking about Melchizedek, to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. In Judaism, everybody revered Abraham. He was the source of everything as far as being Jewish was concerned. But now the writer of Hebrews is saying, yeah, well, there was someone that Abraham bowed down to. There was someone superior to him, and it was Melchizedek. And indeed, those who are the sons of Levi who receive the priesthood have a commandment to receive tithes from the people according to the law. That is, from their brethren, though they have come from the loins of Abraham. But he whose genealogy is not derived from them received tithes from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. Now, beyond all contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the greater. In other words, Abraham was lesser, blessed by the greater Melchizedek. Here mortal men receive tithes, but there he receives them, of whom it is witness that he lives. Even Levi, who receives tithes, paid tithes through Abraham, so to speak, for he was still in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. Now, is that clear? Okay, if you're lost for just a moment, let me say this. If you're a Jewish, all the priests are Levites. The high priest is also from the tribe of Levi. And part of the Jewish religion was in the paying of tithes and honoring the Lord with the first tenth, the first fruits of all that you do. So they would be saying that you're telling us Jesus is the king, the Messiah. Okay, fine. He's from the tribe of Judah. That's the kingly line. But how can he be our priest when he's not a Levite? You can't be from two tribes. And that's why the writer of Hebrews is now doing something very special. He says, okay, you remember the story of this fascinating, mysterious man, Melchizedek, who met Abraham in Genesis. And then we don't hear anything about him for 1,000 years until David comes along. 1,000 years after Abraham, David is the king of the same city as Melchizedek, Jerusalem. He is worshiping the Lord and praising God and writing it down. And as he is worshiping the Lord, the Holy Spirit comes upon him and he begins prophesying about the future coming Messiah the King. And he mentions in his psalm that the Messiah will not only be king, but he will be a priest after the order of Melchizedek. So after this, so you have this obscure three verses in Genesis. Then you have this little prophecy in the Psalms 1,000 years later. And another 1,000 years after David, the writer of Hebrews comes and he puts these two things together. And he says, this is who Jesus is. Jesus is both King of Kings and he is also High Priest. And when they say he can't be because he's not a Levite, he says, ah, but you remember, now I understand. I'd love to have been whoever the writer of Hebrews is when he was having his devotions. And he says, now I understand why David gave that prophecy and why God gave this story when Abraham met Melchizedek. And here's the point to them was, you have Abraham, his son is Isaac, his son is Jacob, who has 12 sons, one of which is Levi, from which come the Levites and all the priests that eventually will be receiving tithes from the people. So in essence, because Levi's not yet born through Abraham, the writer of Hebrews is saying is that Levi was yet in Abraham's loins. And so on that day when Abraham, the father of the faith, met Melchizedek, he bowed down before Melchizedek and offered tithes to him, the priesthood of which David spoke that is eternal. It was messianic. It was prophetic. It was powerful in that way. So let me try to wrap this up by saying, who is Melchizedek? Who is this guy, Melchizedek? And I'm going to give you two theories. One is that he was a man, a real man, that for some reason they didn't write his genealogy. And some even have suggested that it is Shem, and that he was the son or perhaps grandson of Noah, and that that's the reason that there's no records of the genealogy. And therefore, having come through, or at least closely to, the other side of the flood, he would have had knowledge that goes back from Noah all the way back to Adam in the Garden of Eden about the worship of the one true God in heaven. Abraham is from modern-day, the area along the Euphrates River, probably Iran. Iran, if not Iraq, is where Abraham was born and raised. He was surrounded by pagan worshiping people that worship gods and goddesses by the hundreds and thousands. God revealed to Abraham, there's only one God, there's only one true God. And he said, now leave your land and come to a land that I will show you, and I will bless you there, and I will fill you in with more details. So the story goes that Abraham left out of obedience, came from ancient area around Iraq, comes to Canaan, there comes to the city of Jerusalem, meets Melchizedek, who they suggest is a name for Shem, who gives Abraham even more details about how to worship the one true God. So that's one possibility. There is, however, another possibility. And that comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 8. One day, Jesus was disputing with the Pharisees, and they were challenging him concerning his claims being the Messiah, the Son of God. And they said, we are the sons of Abraham. And Jesus said, well, that's interesting. If you were the sons of Abraham, because if you were really and truly the sons of Abraham, you would receive me, because Abraham did. Abraham rejoiced when he saw me. He looked forward to meeting me. He rejoiced when he saw me. So that's in your notes. Let's read that scripture out loud together. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. To summarize, basically, they're having this conversation, and Jesus says, well, look, if you're really the sons of Abraham, you should rejoice. He did when he saw me. I'm paraphrasing. They go, what are you talking about, Abraham? Sorry, Abraham lived 2,000 years ago. No, Abraham saw me, and he rejoiced when he saw me. And they go, this is crazy. You're not 50 years old, and you are claiming that you saw Abraham. And then Jesus says, I tell you assuredly, before Abraham was, I am. He takes the very name of the Lord, Jehovah, and says, I am God, manifest in the flesh, to which then they pick up stones to stone him. But the main point is, Jesus says Abraham saw him. When did Abraham see Jesus? The only possible explanation is, and that's why some Bible scholars suggest that Melchizedek was what's called a theophany. That means an appearance of the Lord before he was born in Bethlehem, pre-incarnate. And there are several places in the Old Testament that it appears that maybe Jesus was so excited about getting into the human story that he appeared incognito a few times in advance. And one of those times and places they think might have been, what if Abraham walks up, there he's got his camel, he gets down upon his knees, begins to praise and worship the Lord, and there is Melchizedek. What if Melchizedek, the king of ancient Jerusalem with the crown on his head, who lays his hands upon him to bless him, is none other than Jesus Christ? A day when they saw each other. Well, we don't know, but we do know this. Whoever Melchizedek was, he is a perfect type of Jesus Christ. And what he offered to Abraham, and Abraham is the picture of you and I, men and women of faith, is bread and wine. The symbols and the emblems of meal, which in that culture is not only a meal, it means fellowship, it means friendship, it means I want to sit down and share your stories with me. I want to listen to what's going on, and let's enjoy one another's company. That's what God has provided for you and I. Isn't the Lord good? Amen.
Great perspectives on this mysterious name, Melchizedek, from our studies with Pastor Ray Bentley in the book of Hebrews. Now, if you'd like a permanent copy of today's message here on Maranatha Radio, contact us and mention the title, The Giver of Good Things. We'll send it your way on CD for your gift of any size. Again, it's called The Giver of Good Things. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Hebrews on a single CD. MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at raybentley.com. Or here's where to write, Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. And then, Pastor Ray, we want to make available your booklet called Dealing with Discouragement and Depression. And I'm thinking about my grandmother. She was always so happy and upbeat. One day she told me that she suffered from headaches, not just every day, but every moment of every day. And I was just shocked. You know, she'd never let it show. But with other people, it's very obvious that they're carrying something heavy. How can we learn to deal with those things that bring us down?
You know, that's so good, Dave. I'm glad that you talked about somebody that you know and that is close to you, like a grandmother, and being vulnerable and honest. That's one of the things that I really wanted to be able to do in this booklet is to be honest about myself. My own struggles, my own humanity. Sometimes you have these conversations in your head and you're hearing, you know, the promises of God on one conversation, and then another thought comes and says, yeah, but where is God? And I don't feel God. And what's going on? Mm. And these battles going on inside of our heads. Talk about bringing a headache. We need somebody to help quiet down and be able to lead us out of those inner circular conversations. And that's really one of the reasons I wrote this booklet from my own personal life, my own experience, and in applying the scriptures to my own life, my own struggles, dealing with discouragement and depression. And the Lord really does want to come alongside of us, Dave, and take that argument that brings those kind of headaches into our heads and really quiet them so that we hear the still, small voice of the Lord. And all of a sudden, it's not a debate or an argument going on, but it's that restful, peaceful, this is the Lord. Everything is okay. And we not only hear it and believe it, but we experience it.
All right. Well, we'd like to make this kind of assurance available to you in Pastor Ray's booklet, Dealing with Discouragement and Depression. We'll send it to you to say thanks for your donation of any amount, which helps us to keep bringing Pastor Ray's daily studies to you each day. So write us at Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127, or order it online at raybentley.com. Well, next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Hebrews. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.